And the owner is a huge Seahawks fan. So when he got the word that I was taking a job in Los Angeles for the Rams, he was like, oh, I am my worst tenant already.
All right. So to kick things off here, we did a little research. Our intern was hard at work, and he found on your website, SerenaMorales.com, that you can still hit an 80-mile-an-hour fastball in the batting cage. Now, is that true?
It is true. That is why it's on SerenaMorales.com. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember Danny Almonte, those Bronx baseball World Series days, but I used to play baseball against him. So I played in a baseball league in the Bronx from like 7 to 17 years old. I broke my right hand index finger, so I have a pin in here. I can't even like bend it. I played baseball for a really long time. I ended up switching to softball for my high school team because I wasn't allowed to play on the baseball team because of the rules, but I played in an outside baseball team for a while.
Nasty, right? He was nasty.
Yeah, really good. And it's unfortunate that he like never made it all the way. Like, he was a really good pitcher.
All right, so Serena, on that note, I need to know if you can actually, I'm going to share this with you. Do you think you could take this guy yard? Ready?
Okay.
I was framed with this footage, by the way.
There it is.
So the question is, could you hit a 56-mile-per-hour fastball?
It might be a little, no, I'm just kidding. I can be a little slow. No.
Did you see the movement on there? I was like Mariano Rivera with that cut fastball.
You're right. It was a changeup. Like, who would have known? Did you used to play baseball?
I did. I played growing up, and I played a couple of years in college. But as you can see by that film, I wasn't a pitcher, and I didn't get very further than college.
Okay. Well, hey, we all have it in our hearts, right? Right.
That's right. So you grew up in the Bronx. You went to Syracuse. After Syracuse, you worked for National Geographic and then, I believe, ESPN. Mm-hmm. So what brought you out to the West Coast with the Rams?
Yeah, a job. It was crazy, actually, because after my time with ESPN, I was sort of like, okay, what am I going to do? And I was thinking I'd move back to New York for sure, like full time. And I got an apartment in Brooklyn, and I was so excited and feeling good. I was just unpacking boxes. A mentor of mine, Jerry Madelon, was like, would you be interested in interviewing with the Rams? You know, they have a team reporter position open. And I was like, I mean, I guess so. Like, why? It can't hurt. But like, I literally just moved into an apartment in Brooklyn. And the funny part was the owner of, I like rented out an apartment in a like little townhouse in Brooklyn. And the owner is a huge Seahawks fan. So when he got the word that I was taking a job in Los Angeles for the Rams, he was like, oh, I am my worst tenant already. basically the job opportunity, I was like, yeah, why not? I got nothing to lose. So now I've been here for almost 3 years.
So your first year was
18 when they went to the Super Bowl. Of all years. I tell them it was me, but apparently it was also Sean McVay who helped the team go to the Super Bowl. And maybe Aaron Donald. And maybe Jared Goff. But maybe.
Now, we're wondering, after that year, did you opt out of your contract and ask for a Jared Goff-like extension?
Right? I definitely should have at the time. I wasn't thinking. I was representing myself, so... now I have great agents at ICM, so maybe there's the opportunity for the next time I renegotiate the contract.
That's fair.
Yeah, well, if they don't go this year, right?
Right. They got a big win last night against the Bucks, so forward and onward. Let's go.
Huge Monday night win. So they're now 7-3. In your opinion, what's been some of the keys to success so far this year?
Honestly, the defense is balling out. And the great part is not necessarily – your name doesn't have to be Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in order to be a star on this defense. In fact, Aaron Donald was pretty quiet on defense. Now, obviously, he's affecting the game because everyone's going to double and triple, and they have to make the game plan around stopping Aaron Donald to protect our poor Tom Brady here. But when it comes down to it, then that opens up a lot of opportunity. If you're ready to go, it's like, oh, I'm here. Oh, I can play in the game. So you get a rookie like Jordan Fuller, who, get this, was the 199th pick in this year's draft. The same pick that Tom Brady was back in his respective draft, whenever that was, in like the 1800s. You have a guy who is rookie year, makes his first interception on arguably the best football player of all time. And then he had two. He was like, oh, this is fun. So he had two interceptions of a guy. You're like, who is this man? I don't know. Went to Ohio State. So you keep the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry going, which I love. And then, you know, I think on offense, there's definitely an increase of not necessarily Jared Goff having to make these crazy long passes down the field, because we have a really good run game. And you got three running backs, which one Rams fan pointed out to me, Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, and Cam Akers spell out DMC, run DMC. So there you have it.
That's amazing.
So I also give credit to the run DMC plan that the Rams have on offense. And overall, you know, I think just they're getting along. Like, these guys really like each other. And you can tell, even I'm away from the team as far as, like, I don't sit next to them every day in the cafeteria. But I do go to practice, and I stand way further than 6 feet apart. And you can tell that they joke and they have fun. And even just watching them on Instagram, they're like enjoying themselves. So I think that's also the key here for the Rams, that things are finally fine tuning. And we know that when guys start to like, oh, look, this is working. Sometimes it's better off that you fine tune things later on in the season.
Yeah. Like, if you looked at last year, there was a lot of injuries and the season didn't end how many Rams fans would expect. And then Todd Gurley left and there was a lot of questions around running back. The defense has been great. The three-headed running backs have been great. How would you compare this year's team to the team that went to the Super Bowl?
You know, they're very similar, because I would say the defense, you know, really, even in the Super Bowl, the defense showed up. Like, how do you keep Tom Brady silent, you know, in a Super Bowl game? And they did so. So I think, you know, the defense is still just as good. That season, you had, like, splashy names like Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. You still had Aaron Donald. You had Michael Brockers. And then I just think, like, back to the point I made before, that these guys really get along. Like, that team was so close. They really all believed in each other. Like, it was just like, that's okay. Yeah, like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, for example. And back in 2018, you had Brandon Cooks. Like, those wideouts are so unselfish. You know, when it comes to, you said the three-headed monster, so maybe you wouldn't call the wideouts three-headed monster, and now you give that to the running backs. Those guys are so unselfish. And Malcolm Brown, who's played behind Todd Gurley for all these years, was just like, I'll get my time. And now you see him and sort of this calming presence with two younger players. Daryl Henderson was like, yo, I'm ready to go. And then he's like, he out, he gone. And then, you know, Cam Akers, every time I talk to this kid, you get this really great positivity and humbleness. And I don't know if it's because he went to the same school as Jalen Ramsey at Florida State. And that's so you right. Come to the Rams and you get a guy like Jalen Ramsey, you're like, yeah, I'm not really the big dog on campus, because he also went to school and he knows to check me. So, I mean, even in training camp, there was a point, and it's all jokes and everything, but Jalen Ramsey defended a little run that Cam Akers had it just in training camp, and boom, like, kid fell down. And it was hilarious to watch. We're like, yo, that kid is humbled for the season. So I think, you know, when you talk to a kid like Cam, he's just really grateful. He's like, whatever you guys need me to do, I'm going to do it. And I know that Sean McVay is really encouraged to also get him and a guy like Van Jefferson, rookie wideout from Florida, to get out there and get them, you know, more experience and more plays. So I think that's definitely working for them. And I'll mention this too. Sean has way more help this year than any years past. Like, now he's got a defensive coordinator with Brandon Staley, but he also has an offensive coordinator, which he really hasn't had because he was like, okay, I can do both jobs. Yeah. I'm an offensive savant. I can do this. But now he's got way more help and he can kind of really look big picture. Kevin O'Connell's done a great job at assisting him. So overall, I mean, when you get more help, you're usually better off anyway, right? Like if I have a producer and makeup artist and everything else, like I'm probably going to do better on camera than me just like brushing my own hair. Like, I'm like, I look like crap. I'm not going to be able to do this, right? So, you know, when you think about all the times we get more help, what it takes a village to raise a child, like Sean's got help to raise all these Rams players and do well this season.
So one last question, then I'll hand it off to Big Ben. It was on one of your podcasts. I think it was maybe with Adam Scheffler. You talked about DJ Moltsen.
Yeah, Moltsen.
Playing Sierra songs when the Seahawks had the ball, and that may have caused Russ to fumble once and throw two key interceptions. Now, we're all waiting to go to SoFi Stadium. We can only watch it on TV. What are some of the cool things that we can see or expect when we're able to go to games?
Well, one, yes, you can get DJ Malski, who is hilarious, and it's so frustrating because I'm like, that's, again, I have to talk about it on our podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like when you're in the stadium and you're hearing him play and you're like, yo, he just played Sierra. That's so bad. Because you know he can hear it, right?
Yeah.
I heard it. You can definitely hear it. He'll like play Looney Tune music or whatever, something like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star when the opposing team takes the field. He's so good. But outside that, the video board is ginormous and amazing and beautiful, and I can't stop looking at it. And sometimes when I end up looking at that instead of the field, which is not what you're supposed to do, but I stare at it. And then two, it's hilarious to catch other players looking at themselves on the video board because you're like, they're just as fascinated as I am. So overall, you can walk through the 8th floor and the 6th floor just in, and I believe the 3rd floor, but there's a couple levels where you can just like walk all the way around. It's outdoor and indoor, it's temperature controlled. So you get sun, you get a breeze, but it's not like, you know, at the Coliseum or something where you're just outside and, you know, dying of heat exhaustion because
you can't escape the heat.
Yeah, you you can in SoFi, and it's kind of 72 and sunny all year long, and so that's great. Yeah, the sound, the food that they have, they're featuring, once again, things hopefully get back to a more normal place in the world, they'll be featuring food throughout Los Angeles. So, you know, you're going to get some good tacos, which is major key. And overall, I mean, it's brand new. It looks like, you know, you're just peeling off the plastic from the light, you know, switches and stuff. Like, ooh, I love it. Like, everything is just really nice. And there are plants, and there's a lake outside. You can, like, chill and chat with your friends. And you're like, I think I'm supposed to watch a football game. A lot of mix. It should be concerts again when things get back to normal. Like, you will want to hang out there all day and not leave.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, Serena, bear with me. That's a very LA stadium, and the reason it's dark behind me and my internet's lagging a little is because everyone's inside during this time of year in Seattle. Like, it's rainy, it's miserable. So we actually renamed our stadium Lumen Stadium, which means light. So get in the NFC West. So you asked Schefter about what teams would make it into the playoffs. I'm going to ask you, do we see all four from the NFC West make it into the playoffs? Three or just two? And if it's just two, who are they?
I definitely, like, I feel for the 49ers because I think that's what the Rams went through last season, just injuries. And there are things that are unavoidable. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are knocking them out because it's like, can you really come back from that? Rams lost against the 49ers, even though they had a bunch of injuries. So I could easily, like, an easy answer could be like, all four are making it. Because when you look at the NFC, you know, the Packers, the Saints, you know, are up there. But when it really comes down to it, the NFC West is just all duking them, you know, it out. Sort of like the NFC East. Except they can't win games, and the NFC West can win a lot of games. So, you know, it always frustrates me that, like, one team from the NFC East is going to make it when, you're probably going to have someone from the NFC West have a better record, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. So, you know, I think I would say at least three teams from the NFC West make it. Like, I love that they have that extra spot, so it makes it fair. I think that's how the Rams would have made it last season had there been that extra spot. So makes it exciting that, again, a winning record, you know, deservedly gets pushed through to a next round. So I'm at least giving the NFC West three spots, and I would probably go Seahawks, Arizona, Rams.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the quarterbacks this year. There's been a lot of talk about Kyler as well as Russ, who might have been in the MVP running if not for that Rams game. What about Goff? Have people slept on Goff a little bit? He looked like he had a command of the offense last week or last night, actually. So where does Goff fit in that mix of top quarterbacks in the NFC West?
I mean, did you guys watch the game last night? The broadcast actually said it, like, as far as, like, wins since the start of their career. Like, he's up there with Tom Brady and Russ and –
Drew Brees, too.
Drew Brees. Like, to me, the question is, why haven't – like, what does it take for poor Jared Goff to get some respect on the name? and so I have tried to think of theories, like – if you think of all the quarterbacks in the league, Jared is a lot thinner. He's a thin-looking quarterback. And I wish the way that we looked at short quarterbacks, and we're like, you can't play, you're so short. I wish we would look at Jared and go, you know, I think people are still like, there's no other thin guy. So you're the only thin guy, so you got to make fun of you. But I'm actually like, holy cow, that's impressive. You are thin and you take hits every once in a while and you get right back up and you look healthy and you have such – like cannon for an arm. So why, to me, I'm like, it should be like, wow, look at this specimen. But instead, I think, you know, he looks unassuming. Like, and I think that's one of the reasons why, because I really can't get, I don't understand. I mean, he just became, he passed Kurt Warner for most touchdown throws, became fifth in the Rams franchise for 103 touchdowns in his, like in Rams history. Like, what are we doing? Like, 16 to respect. And I think it comes down to maybe just, you know, he doesn't look like the rest of the quarterbacks that are out there. So maybe we just need a little, like, we need more thin quarterbacks who can do modeling. Because, you know, the boys thought Banana Republic was awesome. Dual threat.
I always thought him and Cooper would look really good on a billboard together.
Yeah, for sure. Like, outside of Rams gear, like just like modeling something, right?
Like Abercrombie and Fitch models or exactly. Something.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Serena, we've had a few guests from the Cards on as well as the Seahawks. So we're going to stop with the NFC West. But I do want to ask you about your Yankees and the offseason moves that they should make in order to become a contender again.
You know, it breaks my heart. I gotta tell you, I have a question for you guys. Did you feel like this was a World Series? Because for some reason, when the Yankees lost, I kind of felt like, well, they didn't play a whole season. And I don't know if that was convincing myself to feel better or if it was that I'm bitter.
So before I give you my answer, I'll say I grew up in the Bay Area and okay. I'm a big Bay Area fan and I love the Warriors, and the Warriors got injured and hurt. And when the Lakers won, I'm like, well, it doesn't count. It's just a smaller season. So I can see how you could make that same analogy for baseball.
Yeah. What about you?
I actually asked you this question, Kyle, and you said, heck yeah, it counts because the Dodgers won the World Series. So and the Lakers won the NBA. So he's yes. And Serena, I'm a Mariners fan. So
Mariners.
I'm a Mariners fan. So if the Mariners would have made the playoffs and I would have actually gone to a game, we didn't have to go to the World Series, but we didn't. So I mean, but I agree with you. It didn't feel right.
Yeah. Ken Griffey, one of my favorite players. Backwards cap. Mm-hmm. Always that was the best thing to wear. I'd wear it. I'd rock that thing all the time. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're a Yankee fan. He's never going to play for the Yankees because he doesn't like George Steinbrenner. I think that it will be tough because there's guys like, you know, Brett Gardner, who's like such a locker room guy, and you don't know where guys like that. I think there's a place where there's like a lot of young guys, and obviously Aaron Judge hopefully, you know, stays with the Yankees forever and ever and ever. I think Gary Sanchez is finally sort of becoming a better defensive player, and I think if you can see him moving forward, I also like that they swap with him and maybe use him more as a DH. You pay a lot of money for a Giancarlo Stanton, and so you obviously need to put him somewhere on the field if he's not dinged up. So it's really just finalizing and fine-tuning. Like, I love Aaron Hicks. I think he's a great staple for the Yankees, but when I think of next season, does Brett Gardner come back? Like, does he help in the coaching staff? He's sort of like the Andrew Whitworth to the Rams who got dinged up. Like, you don't want to see, you're like, oh, we're so close. Please come back one more season, please. And he doesn't like even drop off. So I'd say there's like key pieces. Like, even when CeCe Sabathia retired, I was sort of like, man, that's another locker room guy that you don't really think about when it comes to, well, you're not necessarily performing as high as we need you to, but who's that guy that's kind of gelling everyone together? And Brett Gardner, man, is a Yankee staple. So I would look for, like, is he going to stay or is he going to go?
Yeah. Well, and hopefully they can sign DJ LeMahieu too, because he's coming off back-to-back years where people – the Yankees got him at a discount. But after these 2 years, he might go away. Yeah. Yep. He's going to get money like you once the Rams go to the Super Bowl. Right. 2 years or twice in 4 years?
Yeah. I'll be eating caviar.
All right, Kay, when you got your dog question, I believe.
Yeah, so I have one last question, but I guess it only makes sense. Are you a dog lover? Do you like dogs?
Yes, I love all animals. I'm allergic to most animals because I'm allergic to everything, but I do love dogs, and I wish I could have like a hypoallergenic dog at some point in my life so that I can run with it and it's a good excuse to cuddle.
Okay. So I'm looking for a dog. I'm in LA, I'm in the South Bay down in Hermosa, and I'm looking for three dogs. Bulldog, English Bulldog, toy husky, or an Australian Shepherd. Which dog do you think I should get and why?
So give me the first two. I just heard the husky. Give me the bulldog. This bulldog?
Bulldog, toy husky, and the Australian Shepherd.
Oh man. I don't know. I mean, you're gonna have so much fur in your place if you go with those long haired dogs. So I'm gonna go a bulldog only because they have shorter hair, and as someone who has a lot of hair herself, I mean, if me and a husky lived in the same home, like how do I get through this place? So for your benefit, I would say go with the bulldog. Also, they're just like, I don't know, people are always like, oh, bulldog, but I'm like, no, they're lovely animals, and they love people too, so they just need good owners.
All right. Bulldog. That's the one I wanted anyway. So just reinforce my decision.
Perfect.
All right, Sarita, do you want to tell our listeners where they can find you online and follow you and hear more about your podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So I have a website, which you guys, thank you for checking out, SerenaMorales.com. But you can check me out on TheRams.com as well. I'm on Instagram, @MoralesMorales. And I am actually a Morales Morales. My mother is a Colombian Morales, and my dad is a Puerto Rican Morales, and they're not related. I mean, they are somehow, I guess, but we don't know. So I'll just check out like some family tree or ancestry.com at some point. And then I'm at Twitter @Sarina, Sarina. And I was just one of the first people on Twitter. And so that's how I ended up getting @Sarina without paying or asking for the handle, just the good old fashioned. I was one of the first people to use Twitter.
That's amazing. All right. Well, Big Ben, do you have any other questions for Sarina?
No, I just, that the Wi-Fi at my new place obviously isn't the best. So We'll get that working next time, Serena. Thank you so much. I had more questions about Chef when we originally started. You met his dog, Ben. Was it a good-looking dog?
Oh, my gosh. That dog was just adorable. It was he said it was like a labradoodle. Like, sizable dog, just jumped right into his lap. And, you know, what's great about when you get podcasts or, like, things like this, like, you get to see a little, you know, more personality. And I know Adam Schefter personally, and he's more of a jokey guy, loving guy. And so to see just his guard just like drop completely because his dog Ben jumped on him was adorable. So it's just, that's why we love dogs. That's why we love dogs.
And he really has 5 labradoodles or 3 now and 2 are on the way. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Which is, I just imagine walking.
Why doesn't he diversify it a little bit?
Because labradoodles are hypoallergenic and they don't shed. Because like I've looked, but they're not good runners. So if you guys have any recommendations on dogs that I could look for, I need like a medium-sized dog that is hypoallergenic and that can run. Because the labradoodle is not really a running type. Like I need minimum 3 to 5 miles where I can like run with the dog. So
okay.
If you can solve that problem.
I have a Bernedoodle.
A Bernedoodle?
I have a Bernedoodle named Roy.
Ooh, now, good name.
If you would, thank you. Kyle named him, actually. So I was going to say, if you were okay with running maybe 3/4 to a mile, he could probably keep up. But if you're going any further, you're dragging him behind you.
It's a struggle. I've been looking maybe to, you know, adopt a dog, but I just need the right one. So I do appreciate dogs with human names or pets with human names, because I think it's hilarious when a dog or any like a pet that you have does something that a human wouldn't do. So like, Roy, stop shitting on the carpet. Like I think those moments are hilarious because that's my humor.
So I want to name my bulldog either Theodore or Fitzgerald, like a presidential distinguished name,
right?
An old man's name too,
because that's again Theodore. Get off the rug. You just keep doing that, you know. It's fantastic. Yeah, I'm all about that. I'm in.
All right. Well, if we find Serena, any dogs,
who do the Rams have this weekend?
The Niners.
Niners. At Ooh. SoFi. Yeah.
At That'll SoFi. Really... So last question. What's the DJ going to play for Nick Mullins? Does he even know? What's he looking up for Nick Mullins right now?
That's a good question. I should text him and be like, yo, what's on the playlist this weekend? I don't know. The Rams are undefeated, knock on wood, at SoFi. And it'd be great, you know, again, to really establish themselves like, okay, we can beat guys in this division, beat the Seahawks. Let's get a win against the Niners now. And I get 2 Cardinals games. I'm like, oh, geez, it's exhausting. And the Seahawks have like all NFC East teams. I'm like, oh, good
for you. We'll take it. The Rams open, we close with them, right?
Yeah.
Well, that DJ, thinking about it now, that DJ should ask for a new contract. He's 4-0 at home. I'd go re-up right now.
Right? Yeah, you're right. I'll shoot him a text. I'll let him know that you suggested it.
All right. Well, thanks, Serena. We really appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks for your time.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.